Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writers Series, Friday, November 18th, 2005. Tonight I'm talking with poet and editor Conrad Hilberry, Emeritus Professor of English at Kalamazoo College. Welcome, Dr. Hilberry.
Thank you.
How did you first get started writing?
Well, when I was a kid, my family all wrote little jingles to go with Christmas presents. And they were pretty stupid, but they often were a little bit clever, too, and they rhymed. Both my parents got in on this, and my brother and I. So I suppose that's where I first began putting things down and wondering how to say them.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Was it difficult to get published at first, and how did you go about doing it the first time?
Well, I think it was quite a bit easier than it is now, because there's so many MFA programs and all over the place. There are really accomplished writers who are submitting things by the dozens in all directions. But we're talking about the late 40s,
wow.
Early 50s, and there weren't any graduate programs in writing, in creative writing. In fact, I went to Oberlin College, where there's a strong writing program now. But back then, I think maybe there's one creative writing course. And I really didn't get going until I was in graduate school. And there, at University of Wisconsin, there was a literary magazine. And I thought, well, let's have a go at this. And sure enough, I got things published in that magazine. And then almost right away, I got one poem in the Atlantic Monthly.
Oh, wow.
And another one in the New Yorker, you know. And I've never had anything in those magazines since. But they were slightly, well, the New Yorker one was a frivolous piece. It was funny. And the one in the Atlantic, there was the editor of the Atlantic came to DePaul University where I was teaching then, and he looked around at the literary magazine we had there and asked, well, could I reprint this poem of yours in the Atlantic? Well, come on, you know, that doesn't happen these days.
No, you're not going to say no. So who were your biggest influences in your writing then, and what writers or poets do you like to read the most or enjoy the most?
Yeah. Well, back when I was first writing seriously, I really admired Richard Wilbur and Philip Larkin, people who could write in meter and rhyme and still make it sound conversational, make it sound natural, with those rhymes all occurring right where they're supposed to, and the meter being maintained. And so I tried to imitate them as best I could. And even though now most of my poems are much freer than that, are in free verse,
right,
still I think it's helpful to have that kind of the iambic beat in the back of your head someplace. And I still write sonnets sometimes. Today, Alicia Ostreicher's new book called No Heaven, published in 2005, I'm predicting that will win the National Book Award.
Oh, wow.
It's a magnificent book. It's political, among a lot of other things, but not political in the way editorials are. It's much more personal and encompasses more and uses a variety of tones and a variety of perspectives. There's one poem looking at our globe from the moon and seeing it as a blue and green marble and lamenting what we've done to it. So that's one person that I really am. My way of thinking right now is influenced by Alicia Ostreicher. And of course, Tony Hoagland is a favorite. Those poems are so, I don't know exactly what he's doing or how he's doing it, but he manages to be just accessible and surprising and funny and serious at the same time. So those are a couple that I'm reading right now. Tony's last book is called What Narcissism Means to Me.
That's great. So what do you like about poetry then? What do you like about it best, that you write it more than, say, short stories or novels? Have you ever tried doing that, or have you always written poetry?
Yeah, I've never been good at short stories or novels. I do have a book that's sort of a psychological case study of two brothers, each of whom is a multiple murderer. They grew up in Kalamazoo. I interviewed them in prison, I'm happy to say. Wow. And so that's a piece of creative nonfiction, I guess you would say. It's it's factual, but I believe it's well written and readable. But no, I haven't written fiction. And I guess it's just that poems are shorter.
Right.
And actually in reading, I like poems too. I read many more poems than I do fiction things. They get more said in less space.
Right.
And I like that compression, paying attention to every word and every image, getting them to fit together and to surprise one as she goes through it.
Do you consider yourself first a poet, an editor, or a teacher?
Oh, a teacher first of all. I'm still teaching some.
Are you?
Yeah. You know, one would hesitate to call oneself a poet. Because, all right, maybe you were a poet yesterday, but who knows about today or tomorrow? You know, that's much chancier, I think, than being a teacher or an editor.
How has living and working in Michigan influenced your writing, or, say, your other travels? That I know in a lot of your poems you have kind of exotic places. So how has that influenced your writing or come into play?
Yeah. I like Michigan a lot, but Kalamazoo College has been very good to me.
Right.
To take a little excursion from your question, I came to Kalamazoo with a PhD in English literature, especially medieval and Renaissance English literature. And I taught Chaucer and Shakespeare and especially 17th century John Donne and John Milton. But it gradually became clear, even to me, that I wasn't cut out to be a scholar. And I became more and more interested in contemporary poetry and in poetry writing. And the college just accommodated me. I just gradually sort of switched from medieval Renaissance to contemporary poetry and creative writing. And it's made an enormous difference in the just my relaxation and pleasure in teaching. So I can publish poems instead of publishing learned articles.
Right, exactly.
Then what was the question again?
How has living and working in Michigan influenced your writing or your travels?
Because
I know you have traveled.
Well, we have been. We've been in Mexico a number of times,
right.
And we spent a term in Ecuador. I was an exchange professor there at Universidad San Francisco de Quito. There's a lot to be said for being in a place where you don't know what's going on, you know, where everything is strange or all the subtleties are somebody else's subtleties. And you can't quite talk right, even though you've studied it. I don't know. Things become a little more vivid, and you notice things. So, quite a few of my poems are set in Mexico or in Ecuador, and at one point we spent 6 weeks on the island of Crete.
Wonderful.
Hanging out there, looking at the Aegean from those cliffs, and I wrote a lot. So there's a lot to be said for getting out of the familiar place, just because everything becomes more vivid.
Right.
You've done that too, I bet.
I've tried, yeah. are you working on anything currently, or what can we expect from you in the future?
Well, I keep on writing poems.
Great.
As you'll hear tonight if you come to the reading, I've just published a chapbook called The Fingernail of Luck. And that's something different. All of those poems are spoken by objects. I mean, the oboe has something to say, and the poker has something to say, and the mustache, and the mousetrap, and so forth. The waning moon. And that seems like an odd project, but it turned out to be very fruitful. You'd be surprised what those objects have been thinking and feeling all this time when we've never really tuned in to listen to them.
Well, we're looking forward to reading it, and hearing you read from it tonight. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hilberry, for participating in the MSU Libraries Michigan Writer Series, and good luck with your reading tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.